verses 6 through 8. Acts chapter 3, verses 6 through 8. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered in the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God.
You ever got up in the morning and thought today is going to be a bad day? You know, you just feel like you've been kicked in the teeth when you get up. I can't get up. I can't get going. Bad things have happened in my life. I don't know where I'm going to go next. I can't find happiness. All the different things that get us going in the world. Think about what Jacob just read for us. Silver and gold have I none. I would love to have a semi-truck full of gold. I could change all y'all's lives if I was rich. When we wanted something or needed something, I would be the one to take care of it for you. Think about what he's saying. I don't have these things, but this is what I can do for you. Look at verse 7. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he, leaping up, stood and walked. You know how a day starts is not necessarily how it's going to end. We can wake up in the morning and say today is going to be a bad day because of things that was on our mind all night, things that happened in our life. We all have problems. I could name you a long list this morning of Tim's problems. You don't want to hear them. I don't even want to hear them. I hope they go away. One time when I was a teenager, Stan and I went out one night, and Stan Shelton and I went out one night, and we did, before cell phones. I know y'all don't know what that is. But we were told what time to be home, and we got into a discussion with someone about the Bible, actually. And we was late getting home. And unfortunately, we stayed at my house that night instead of his house. Dad wasn't real happy. He took my driver's license away from me, told me I'd never drive again until I was 30, and I don't know what all. Went in, went to bed, me and Stan laid in there talking. So I knew we shouldn't stay. He said, "Oh, Tim, we done the right thing." I said, "Well, apparently not. I don't have my driver's license, you do." He said, "Maybe we'll wake up in the morning and it'll be a bad dream, Tim." I said, "Yeah, right." Next morning I woke up, Dad come back in there and laid my driver's license on the nightstand. Stan said, "I told you we'd wake up and be a bad dream." Sometimes we wish things would just go away. David challenged us this morning in class. And I think it's a good challenge. Do random acts of kindness to people. Matter of fact, he even went a step further and said, "I want you to write down things that people have done for you. Random acts that people have done for you. Write those down and write down things you've done for other people, but don't put your name on it. Turn those in, I think, a week from this coming Wednesday night, David will probably be having class or teaching class. We won't be here, and I hate that. I wish you'd put it off a week. But the one Wednesday night, we're going to talk about those things. You know why I think that's important? Because it encourages us to do more. It helps us to see that there's a lot of things that each one of us can do. And if you're not doing things like that, it's going to encourage you to do them. So I'm excited about that. I'm excited about us getting together and talking about things that people have done for us. Because that's who we are. Each one of us is standing here today because of things that people have done for us. Encouraged us along the way. Helped us to be the people that we are today. What's your greatest fear? What is your greatest fear? I'll tell you what Cinda's is. She's not here. Friday was working on a fire hydrant at McKenzie, and they had a black bag over it because you put a black bag over it when it's out of service, and the firemen know not to hook to it. You don't waste time. They know to go to the next one. And we went to take the black bag off. Let me restate that. Cinda went to take the black bag off, and she left in a hurry. I said, what in the world? She said, there is a spider. And I thought, well, there's a lot of spiders. This spider was big enough I stabbed it with a knife. And did not miss. She headed to the truck. So I know what Cinda's greatest fear is. It's spiders. But what is your greatest fear? Would this ring a bell? Should our greatest fear be what's on the board this morning? When we think about our life, do we worry more about whatever come to your mind a few minutes ago? Or is our biggest fear right here on the board that I do not, under any circumstance, want to spend all eternity in hell? I want to make sure that I live my life in such a way that heaven will be mine. I was blessed yesterday to get to visit with a few people. I ended the day yesterday at Trenton at the funeral home. Standing in line. And when I got to the casket, I got to talk to a mother who was burying her son. And when I got there, she looked at me, and she didn't know me. I looked at her, and I said, I'm so, so sorry about your son. I've been thinking about you the last few days and praying for you, and I know this hurts. It hurts so bad to bury your child. And on the way home, I was talking to Daniel. He was with me, and I told him, but there's things that's worse than that. As bad as it is to bury your child, there are things that's worse than burying your child. Because a lot of people live their life, and they think that it is a game. They think that no matter what happens on this earth, it doesn't matter how I act or how I live or the things that I do, as David was talking about in class, or the things that I don't do in this life, it doesn't matter. And one man left this on his tombstone, game over. And I guess you could talk about this in either way. Number one, first of all, Hayden, it's not a game at all. Our life is not a game. Now, we have fun, and we don't need to be sitting in here this morning thinking with our head down how miserable life is, because it's not. Life is a blessing from God, and each one of us share each day with loved ones and have so many opportunities in our life to impact people for good. Take those opportunities to talk to someone about Jesus. Take those opportunities to do a kind act to them. So we could talk about how life is not a game, or we could talk about that when we leave this earth, the game is over. If we lived it and acted as if the life was a game, it is over then. Shane, the buzzer has sounded. Fourth quarter's over. However we want to word that. And at that point, we're going to stand before God. I want you to listen to just a few scriptures. I have them written down here. You're welcome to turn there. I'm going to go through several. But I want you to think about these scriptures. Luke 16:23, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Luke 12:5, but I forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him who after he hath killed hath no power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Revelation 20:14, and death and hell were cast into a lake of fire. This is the second death. Matthew 25:30, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into utter darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Mark 9:48, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Revelation 14:11, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receiveth the mark of his name. Matthew 25:46, and these shall go into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto eternal life. Matthew 25:41, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, unto everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. 2 Thessalonians 1:7-9, and to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. 2 Peter 2:20, for after you have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse for them than the beginning. Revelation 20:15, and whoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 21:8, but the fearful, the unbelieving, and murderers, and all immoral persons, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Mark 8:36, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Many, many verses. I had more even written down when I started thinking about this sermon. What all is it that relates to what we're talking about? Our biggest fear today, that is, if your biggest fear is hell. So many warnings in the Bible, so many verses that we can go to that tells us, number one, how we ought to live. These are things we have to avoid if we want to have a home in heaven. And Paul gives us a list in Corinthians and also in Galatians. He gives us a list, a long list, however, that tells us if we find ourselves living this life, we will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Now, we can have that lifestyle and then turn from it. But we cannot continue to have that lifestyle and expect to be in heaven one day. Just this past week, I was discussing this subject with someone, and they were talking about I don't know how to say this. They were talking about a very common, I guess is the word I would use, a very common sin that we hear a lot about today. And they were talking about getting forgiveness for things in our life. And I said, absolutely, we can have forgiveness of sins. But look, folks, we've got to understand we cannot continue to live in that sin. When we find ourselves to be away from God and we find ourselves to be living in sin, we have to turn away from that sin. We cannot keep living the same way and say, God, forgive me. Hebrews 10:26. Anybody know what that says? If we sin what? Willfully. We cannot willfully say that I am going to continue to live the life that I'm living, because when we come to know Jesus, when we know who the Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ is, we have to change the way that we live. Most everybody in here is probably a Christian, and if you're not, we're going to encourage you here in just a few minutes to become a child of God, to put the Lord on in baptism. There's a lot of people in here that's been baptized for the remission of their sins. So my question to you today is, what did you give up to become a Christian? Did you sacrifice anything in your life when you walk down that aisle or when you come up out of that watery grave of baptism? Did you sacrifice anything? If not, why not? Are we continuing to live the way that we were? And maybe you didn't have anything in your life before. I don't know. But when we come to Jesus and we decide that we're going to allow His blood to wash away our sins through our obedience, and we're going to change and commit to living for Him, and we're going to wear His name, folks, we got to give up certain things. We got to let go of the world. And I'm going to tell you, I don't know how many of y'all watch the news. I try not to, but I have been a lot lately. The one thing I don't want to hold on today, you don't know what it is the world. I don't even like to look out there and see it right now because everything is going on. I don't want to hold on to the world. I want to hold on to Jesus. Because when all this falls apart, I'm going to tell you one of these days it's going to. One of these days this is going to fall apart. I want to be holding Jesus' hand, not Satan's. Because He is going to put us and pull us right where we need to be. Who do we blame? Everybody's got somebody that we can blame. A lot of people are living life today and they're thinking about wherever they're at in their life, it's somebody else's fault. I don't have anything because of this person and that person. I'm in jail because this person and that person had done this to me. There are children today that probably could blame their parents. But there's children today that blame their parents, and their parents done the very best they could. They just turned out bad. So who are we going to blame? A thief broke into a house. He saw a picture of Christ hanging on the wall. He could not burglarize or steal anything in that house with Jesus looking at him. He goes over to the picture. He grabs the picture, takes it off the wall, and turns it around so Jesus couldn't see him. He took things out of the house and he left. The police come in. You know how they caught him? Fingerprints was on the picture that he picked up of Jesus' picture. And they ended up catching him. And he was convicted of burglary because he grabbed a picture and didn't take it with him. So my question this morning, who is it that we're going to blame someday if we fail to surrender to God? Number one, are we going to blame God the Father? No, we can't. John 3 and verse 16 tells us we can't blame God because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. So if we're not going to blame God, then we're going to have to blame God the Son. We can't. John 10 and verse 10. Says the thief does not come except to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. So we can't blame God the Father and we can't blame God the Son. Then we've got to blame God the Holy Spirit. We can't. Because in John 16 and verse 13, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. The Godhead has done its part. It's up to us now. So who will we blame? Only ourselves for not surrendering our lives to the Lord. God has made all necessary plans for our eternal life. And it's in our hands today. We must let love motivate us to obedience. Love for God to move us to be obedient. To believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. To turn away from sin. To confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then to be baptized for the remission of our sins. Love for God has to be
what drives us and motivates us to remain faithful each and every day of our life. What's the biggest fear in your life? Went to the doctor last week. They're going to have me go run some tests. They said I'm getting old enough, I have to start worrying about things. I wish they had told me that earlier. I've been worried about some things before they told me that other day. But I'm going to go have some tests run. And Wendy was talking about it the other night, so I ain't worried about it. It'd be all right. Do we fear our health the most? Are we more worried about being alive tomorrow than we are being in heaven someday? Are we more worried about what I'm going to do this afternoon than worshiping God this morning? Where is our mind and our relationship with God? What's the biggest fear you have in your life? I hope it's hell. I hope the biggest fear you have this morning is hell. And that you'll do this morning whatever it takes to avoid it. That if you're not faithful to God, that you will make it right this morning while together we stand and sing.